agenda. So I will start by taking roll. Mike Eister, what do you know, he's here. Jerry Gatos, I'm sure, is on the way. Sherry Moore. Lindsay Howard. I don't see Lindsay yet.
Sherry's here.
Oh, yeah, I got her.
Okay.
Josh Scove. Andy Vibora. Kate Reed.
Here.
Amy Cubbage.
Here.
Franny Brindle.
Here.
Sid Lichen.
Or Sarah Mean.
Rick Satry, not yet. Matt Nelson, not yet. Carl is here. Annie and Greg are not here. So we're going to go ahead and start with what we've got. I think I'm going to pass on the chair's comments right now because I know we've got an action-packed agenda. So agenda review, comments, questions about the agenda.
Is this on? Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah,
I'd like to have a short discussion maybe on the front end about, like right before Main Street Projects maybe, about the proposed service changes.
Okay. Service adjustments. Josh, just before, after meeting minutes approved.
Do I need to suggest what it comes out of in the agenda?
No.
Okay.
I'm going to manage the agenda so it works.
Okay, thank you.
So, Sasha, would you remind me before the meeting is over, though, I do have to talk about the July meeting. So be thinking about July 3rd or July 10th. And I'm suggesting that July 3rd is off the table, but we need to meet in July. So be zeroing in on July 10th. That's a possibility. Rick Satry is here. Let the minutes show. Okay. Josh, would you go ahead and... Oh, wait. Public comment. Is there any? I think there might be. Rob Zako. Okay, somebody running that clock to make sure that.
Yeah, we got it.
All right, okay.
I'm Rob
Zako. Dr. Zako.
I'm Executive Director of Better Eugene Springfield Transportation. One short comment and one substantive thing. Let me pass out my handouts on the substantive thing this way and that way. So speaking of the proposed service changes, Best would say that in general, LTD has another committee, the service committee, that looks at those things, but there may be two points of comment why this committee might be interested in those. First, you are representatives of the community, and as such, you're liaisons, and so you should be aware of things that LTD is proposing and help get the word out, and perhaps in your discussion, you'll hear that there's a second public hearing on June 20th about that. So an opportunity to let your people know that they can have input. The second point of contact is one of the proposed service changes is to split the MX line in two to have a West Eugene to Springfield line and then a Springfield to Gateway line. That may be a good thing, a bad thing. I just think that insofar as this committee used to be the MX steering committee, that's probably something you should be aware of. Okay, those are my parenthetical comments. My main comments, the handout here, oh my goodness, LTD is involved in a lot of really exciting stuff. It's really great. By our count, there may be eight different efforts going on. Let me just say quickly, the COA, or Transit Tomorrow, moving ahead, the River Road Santa Clara Transit Orient Development Study, the Main Weekday Transit Study, the New Franklin Boulevard, as just mentioned, the proposed service changes, the House Bill 2017 State Transportation Improvement Fund funding that's coming down the pipeline, and talk about perhaps reinstating the youth pass and possibly some sort of low-income pass. This committee talks about a lot of these things in different agenda items. What I like to call to your attention is that as you talk about different items, you should be aware of the big picture. It might even be good to have a single cheat sheet where you could see all these different projects on a timeline, how they map out against each other, how one decision leads into the other, and just make the connections. In particular, we see the COA, the Comprehensive Operations Analysis, is really foundational in leading to a lot of these other decisions. And so as you talk about other things, you might talk about how does the COA inform or is informed by those. How am I doing for time?
You're still green.
All right, I'll just do a song and dance for a couple minutes as I walk away. Thank you very much.
29 seconds.
Thank you, Rob. It's nice to have a comprehensive piece of paper that kind of ties it all together. Josh, you wanted to talk a little bit about the service adjustments, and how about if I try to hold this to 10 minutes?
Okay, do we want to approve the meeting minutes?
Oh, we do. Can I get a motion? Approve the minutes? Moved by Sherry.
I'll second.
Seconded by Rick. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Thank you, Carl. Okay, now Josh.
Yeah, okay, so, and I will send around a handout. This will, I accidentally let this spill onto a second page, so you can see I'm holding a second piece of paper that's blank. Just treat it as a note-taking space or a doodling space. So I'll just send a few of those around. So I just wanted to talk about, I wanted to say a little bit about the documentation for service changes. This will sound very like process nitpicky or detail nitpicky, but just for context, this is really about looking closely at the way we're communicating with the public about service changes. My understanding is that the COA, did I send enough of those around?
Yeah.
Okay. Other people can have them if they want. Do you need more? You need more. Here. Yeah.
Okay.
So let me just walk through this, and I won't read everything on this page, but I didn't want to miss any of these points. So here's the deal. I looked at the proposed service changes, the webpage, and then the PDF download that explains these. These are pretty substantial. I don't know if everybody's had a chance to look at them. We haven't had a discussion of them on our agenda. But I wanted to be nitpicky in all these ways. It's only one page. You guys can take it home and it'll be with the materials. Because I feel a lot of pressure for us here at the SPC to make sure that we are communicating really clearly with the public, that LTD is communicating really clearly with the public, with the COA especially looming in the near future. So presumably the COA is going to, we're going to be asking people big questions. We're going to be asking them to react to a lot of detail. I wanted to just point out a few ways in which I thought these documents fell short of what we would want to do. So there are six suggestions here. Let me just do a couple of them. Let me skip to number two. The first one's pretty self-explanatory, but the second one, route-specific descriptions are too brief and lack context. If you look at the webpage, there's a webpage. I have it right there, ltd.org/fall-bid/. So that has each of the routes that's being affected, and it has almost no text with it. It has like a sentence or two, has a very short paragraph at the longest. I sort of call out the Route 81 as the one having the most detail. But if you take a look at this, as a regular person or as a person sort of dealing with those cuts, you'd find like almost no explanation and no rationale. And I think we need to do more than that. The next one here, the service adjustment summary, that's this sort of 1.5-page PDF that you can download from this page, doesn't explain, well, we'll do 3 and 4 together. It provides some data on each of these cuts. It has a little bit on boardings, but it has no frame of reference. It's hard to know whether those numbers are high or low. Are they out of the ordinary for LTD? Some of them are like quite different from others, even just on that page of cuts. So it's hard to know whether that's the reason that some of these routes are being cut. So there's a lot more explanation that would be needed there. And then the two columns are not differentiated anywhere. They have slightly different headings, but those aren't intelligible to mere mortals. So I think we need to explain more there. And then 5 and 6 really quickly. 5 has is just about how there's no description for the options considered on this PDF, this little more than one-page PDF. There are not just the cuts that are being made, but also things that were considered, but there's no other explanation of those. And some of them are pretty substantial. Like we considered something having to do with U of O football games, and it was $250,000 item, but we provided no detail for people. So I guess what I'm just sort of describing here is that even if you were a patient, diligent resident going and trying to figure out what was there, this would be really hard to draw conclusions about. I mean, you could see potentially where cuts are, but they wouldn't be that clear. And so the reason I'm bringing this level of concern about it is that we do have the COA coming up soon, and I just want us to bring our A game as we communicate with the community about these details. Then the very last one, I managed to exercise restraint, which I know everyone will find extremely surprising. But I didn't use the word Orwellian in there, but I kind of wanted to because the whole thing is cuts. Do we have to call it changes? If there are no changes other than cuts, I think we should call it cuts, or it just feels a little bit misleading to community members. So you have the handout. I don't know if people want to discuss this now, but this is, I just wanted to put this out there as we're thinking about the way we communicate with the community on these issues. That's what I'm referring to. So that's the PDF that is referred to here as the, sorry, Kate is showing me the FY 2019 service adjustment summary. That, and you can get to that from the URL that's listed on this page.
Andy.
I appreciate this, Josh. When I first read it, I was on the bus actually reading it on my phone and trying to go through some of it, which is very challenging. And what surprised me is reading down, and this is just, I missed a heading and saw that, you know, University of Oregon Austin Stadium Transit Service was up on the cut list, and then when I got to a desktop, I realized that that wasn't the case. It was only under consideration and then not further consideration. But I do work with the university a lot, and I had this conversation with Vicki Strand over there, and she wasn't even aware that it was even considered. So I think that it is important to be transparent about this stuff. I worry that the community could see a big backlash, and if the university is any indication of this and what they have handled some of the Haber Field stuff, is that, you know, you need to be out in front of this stuff a little bit more in terms of the language and being open about what's going on. I mean, you just increased all this service to support West Eugene MX, which was planned and which is great service. And people don't have the context of why you're cutting now all of a sudden out of the blue in really short order. And it could blow up. So I think kind of being out in front of it would be really important.
Did someone else have a hand? Sherry?
So where are these cuts originating from?
Staff recommendations. I mean, or proposals.
Do you mean what's the impetus, or
well,
who's?
You said who? Where did they come from?
AJ, do you want to kind of go over that?
So what we've been doing is we've been looking at the agency's financial position and looking at its service delivery over the last 3 years. What we've done. We've added a lot of service in, and we've continued to track the efficiency of the service and its productivity. For the last 2 years consistently, although we've been adding service where we felt that it was important, some of that service has actually been really productive service, like the weekend service. So we've determined that we added service in certain areas where it was really needed, but we didn't go back and readjust in areas where we knew the service maybe wasn't productive. And so after we completed that whole addition of service and we had a better grasp of that, what we did is we looked at areas in which service was not productive, either because we had added it back in anticipation of ridership or it had just not been looked at for reduction. So we took a two-pronged approach. We took some of the service adjustments we did were in February in the winter, and those have, we're continuing to monitor them, but they have had positive results in improving the productivity of those lines. By making those routes more productive, it actually protects their sustainability. So we knew we had to also align other routes or inflate our budget to continue to sustain routes that were not productive. And so we looked at our financial position, talked it over early on with the board, and I looked back at some of our financials. We started publicly having this conversation with the board of directors back in at our September meeting of 2017. And after a series of discussions, staff went back and start putting together what we could. However, we were in the midst of a lot of other things. We were doing the COA, if you all remember, where they were like, push forward, focus on the COA, and we did. And we were opening MX and everything that it took. So we definitely, and we knew a COA was coming. So we knew that we could not do it the old traditional annual route review. And so what we did with that was we held that for our budget process, and we looked at back again, continued to evaluate since we had looked at it where we were, and we looked at routes that the productivity really was not there to continue it. So at this point, our board of directors has not taken action. This is just kind of our first conversation with them that we brought to them, and it's an opportunity for us to have an open engagement process right now. We'll bring to them what we have done since we last spoke to them last month, and we gave them things that we were considering and things that we had evaluated, but at this point we weren't recommending. And the board gave us some direction. So, Andy, you mentioned the U of O athletics. That was something that we told them we were looking at, but we were not considering at this time, and they actually asked us to consider it. They provided me direction, and I informed them that I would have a series of meetings with the university. And after a series of meetings, then I would come back and bring them that information, which what I will do at the next board meeting. And at that point, the board will have the ability to either direct us to continue in, you know, with maybe now considering the U of O athletic service as a potential. If the board directs me as such, what we will do is we will keep open the public comment, because we want to advise the public and allow for a public comment process for that well in advance. So that's kind of what we've been doing, is we've been bringing back information about ridership. Our board packets include monthly ridership reports. And for the last 2 years, we've had at least like 1-3% month after month for the last, we did stabilize a little bit with the opening of West Eugene, but not in the routes that we are proposing at this time. Those routes did not continue to sustain that. So that's why we selected those routes. So it was a series of different stages that left us to that, to bring this before the board of directors. And we are in meetings with the U of O different groups on that. So we have had conversations, and they've been productive, and they've provided us actually some very valuable feedback. And we'll have at least one more, if not more, meetings before we bring a recommendation. So the public comment process.
Public comment can be provided in a number of ways. There's ongoing open public comment via email to the account ltd@ltd.org. In addition, there will be a public hearing held before or at the June 20th board meeting here at 5:30 p.m. And that is again on June 20th at 5:30. And any written comments received up until that point will be reflected.
But your staff has been doing a lot of...
And staff have been doing direct outreach as well at Eugene Station, Springfield Station. Plans are being made to do additional outreach at the U of O Station and possibly LCC Station as well. And outreach to a number of community groups that we work with closely has been done directly.
Is there a link to this site?
Yeah, so the website for this is ltd.org, and we will be happy to email the link out to the committee after this meeting, but it's on ltd.org, and then it's /fall-bid.
Josh put it in, but I was just wondering, is there a link for public comment?
Yeah.
Yeah, on that website, you can click the RSVP.
How do I get online here? Is there
We can work on that for you, Councilor.
So I think we're going to move on.
Does that answer the question?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Is the board likely to take action on at their June 20th meeting?
Board does what they choose to do.
Is staff recommending that they take
action? We will bring them information about all the public comments to that point. What we would like the board to do is to really consider all the factors collectively, not prematurely us say this is what we want to do. Because if based on the input that we get, what we can do is modify our proposal, allow the board to look at a modified version that is responsive to the public comment, so that it's not like we propose this, people set this, but we still recommend to the board they do that. What we want to say is if there's an opportunity, which is what we are learning with the U of O, is it's not that they don't directly support them. It's just they want to know the impact and could we make some adjustments. And so we know that we can bring back to the board of directors something that is responsive to the comments we receive so that they can look at that and say, is the responsiveness adequate that we feel comfortable supporting that? Or they can ask us to take that back and change that, or they can, we're looking at how to provide them the opportunity to approve anything that they feel that is substantial and take back anything that they feel they're not comfortable. So we're not pushing them towards, you know, do something now or, you know, anything else. So they will have an opportunity to be able to be responsive to any public comment that's been received to date.
And we had a very robust discussion at our main board meeting where there was a public hearing as well. No one showed up. Maybe Rob was there.
Rob was there. Andy?
Is the implementation date,
fall, September?
Yeah, fall in September. Right. And you could potentially put off a decision past the June board meetings?
What I will say is at the last meeting, the board gave me direction about how to proceed with the U of O athletic service. And if the board was not comfortable in not making decisions on certain routes, because they either want more public engagement or maybe more time to evaluate that decision, we would then just not make those and then move those to the winter bid. So, you know.
Yeah, I wasn't.
So that's what we would do. But anything that they're comfortable approving would be in good timing for us to do that. Anything that they postpone would then be held over. Yeah.
So I have also had a lot of input from a variety of places in the last couple of weeks, and the message that I've heard is not so much questioning whether the cuts are a good idea or necessary. What I've heard is that folks feel as though LTD has not done a good enough job of putting themselves in the place of the consumer, the customer, and looking at the schedules, looking at the material, the outreach not being quite adequate. When I was on the board, I remember when we were looking at service adjustments, we'd have a room full of 100 people. Now, if you held a hearing and only one person showed up, that tells me something. That's highly unusual in my experience. So when we had 100 people showing up, that's because 100 people heard about it and they had something to say about it. So I'd just like for the staff and the board to hear that there are people with genuine concern, not trying to be critical of LTD, but really imploring you to try to be a little bit more sensitive, to put yourself in the shoes of the bus rider. That's what I'm channeling from people that are talking to me.
Thank you so much for that. And any recommendations that maybe we can be specific would be helpful for the board. I know the board had in the past asked us to go out to the community and do our public hearings there. We've done public hearings in downtown, and we've done public hearings out in the neighborhood, especially when we had to do that whole redesign.
Yeah.
And we did have two people that attended, and we were right in the community. So I've been here 2.5 years, and I think the crowds have always been staff. I think Rob's our only attender. And 2.5 years, that's even when we go out to the community.
That could just be different then.
Yeah, it's just, and that's kind of what we're experiencing, because the board has been asking us to really go out in the community, speak more about it, and we're just not getting that level of engagement anymore. And Kate's been on the board, and I think she's experienced the same thing I have.
Yeah, and I also, we see the engagement plans and the opportunities for people to engage, and we've adapted a little bit based on changing in technology and to help to meet the needs of our constituents who may not have mobile devices or who may only have mobile devices and not just, you know, like we've done, it's a very elaborate net that we cast out for public engagement. And we did receive a lot of online submissions when we were doing the service changes in West Eugene, which was great. Those were good to read. They're very helpful for the board. There's a lot of positive engagement from that as well, which was really cool to see. But the in-person stuff has been really low attendance. And so what I would love as a board member when we're, because we are in a ton of public engagement processes for all sorts of different things. If there is a way that public has input that we're not putting out there for them to talk to us, then that's what we need to know. Because there's, I mean, Edward's team has like 90 different avenues to get in touch with LTD. And if none of those are working, then we need to know which is the one that's going to work and why we're not doing it.
And I think that's why at this time what we did is we said, who's affected? And who's affected is the writer. Mm-hmm. So that's why we went out to the tabling to try to catch people during the peak time. So instead of, you know, people who don't ride the bus having something to say, that it's like, this is your bus, can you give us our comments? So they've been doing tabling to try to get, so we put the resources into the bodies, because some people just are not going to email us, they're going to just not like it. And so how do we staff it and actually send them out there to do more of that or outreach? Looking, and Edward can speak on the number of public engagement, and Rob and I had a conversation last week about some people are saying they don't know. And it's like, well, if we're missing those people that they don't even know, then how do we reach out? And staff had actually, I think, reached out to the Register Guard and to the newspaper and said, maybe next time we do it with tabling, maybe for that person that maybe's already made it home or something and has missed us, but they're watching the news or reading the newspaper, perhaps if we could reach out to them even like that so that they can say, have an input. So I know staff had said that. And Edward, how much public comment have we received?
Yeah, so the last time we checked, we had received just over 15 comments, so not a lot. Some have been really, you know, when we put information on the website, the main goal we were trying to do was get the key information the consumer needs and not overburden them with information. And so you'll notice as you read the descriptions, it talks about the frequency changes and potential routing changes. And if there's a routing change, there's a map that accompanies it, and if there's a schedule change, there's a new proposed schedule. Because what we found is just telling people generic, oh, well, it may go from 30 to 60 minutes or from 15 to 20. People go, that's nice, but how does that affect my trip? And so normally, transit agencies don't actually put together the actual schedule this early in advance. They wait till the process is done and then build the schedule. So we asked the planning team to put the schedule together in advance so we can get that to the community. And so we've put that out, and that's led to some really helpful feedback. We've heard from at least one person who works at the U of O that the schedule changes on one of the routes would mean they either get to work 20 minutes early or 20 minutes late. We took that feedback and included that as part of the meeting we had at the U of O today to talk about the service changes and particularly the schedule changes. What they're going to do is send us the schedules of their classified employees that have very set schedules, as well as kind of the very common bell times for classes, so that we can look at the times that the buses that are being changed going into U of O station, we can look at those routes and identify, are we getting folks where they need to be on time? And if not, make adjustments based on that as well. So that's been really helpful. But to date, we've gotten about 15 or 20 comments through the online portal. We've had teams out at Eugene Station yesterday and today doing some tabling. We're going to be tabling at Springfield Station, U of O Station, and possibly LCC Station as well, since that's where a lot of the changes are happening. It's easier to intercept people on their way to or from the bus than to try to break through the noise. As AJ mentioned, we did schedule a second public hearing on this to provide further opportunity for comment. Press release announcing that went out yesterday. We've been conducting follow-up calls to the media, although there's not been that much interest from them to date. And so we're working on trying to generate some more information for that So that we're really making sure that info is getting to people and that they have as much opportunity as possible to give feedback, to influence decisions, and also impact timetables to make sure they get to their connections or get where they're going.
Thank you. I think we have dug ourselves an agenda time hole that we're going to have to dig out of. Thanks for bringing it up, and thanks for the thorough response from staff.
Is there a recommendation you would like us to forward to the Board of Directors?
Well, okay, so I really appreciate all the comments, and the details super helpful to hear. I guess I didn't actually hear any explicit acknowledgement of the critique of the quality of the information. It's great that you can go and look at the schedule as one person, but for people who are trying to understand the transit system as a whole, which I realize is a minority of people, but people whose needs also need to be served, because not all voices are going to make it to the table on something like this. The fact that you haven't heard from that many people means there are a lot more affected people than there are people who are talking. I guess I would just say, let's keep alive the discussion about how we're presenting information to people, and maybe this will all be resolved when the COA comes. But again, just to repeat it, I'm very concerned if we provide detail like this when we're trying to make system-wide, we're trying to foster a system-wide conversation.
Well, the other sort of concrete thing is euphemisms will come back and bite you. To call service cuts, service adjustments, it just makes it look like you're trying to cover something up. If it's a service cut, it's a service cut. Might as well call it that.
He said it, not me.
Well, you said it first.
Okay, that's right. I said it first.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and move on to the next item. We had some great news today. Had a governance team meeting for the first time in 13, 14 months. And Kate Reed was there.
I was there.
It was funny.
Hey, Fran was there.
Yes.
AJ was there. Mike was there. Sasha, Tom. We were all there, really, many of us. So we had a really robust conversation that was kind of set up from the conversation we had last time in this meeting, and then a number of conversations that have happened kind of behind the scenes over the last month, leading to transit being an integral and integrated part of what the Maine McVeigh governance team will be working on. So the purpose was discussed for the safety project, and transit is a part of that, looking at options that will that the safety project could enable and promote moving forward for transit on that very busy road, and then also the okay to move ahead with the Maine McVeigh transit study was given from the team as well. So we are back on course with transit and safety together at the same time. And it was clearly discussed that there needs to be a team lead. Whose project is it on the safety project? And that won't be LTD, but that LTD is there to support the work by being a part of the governance team. And then at the same time, LTD's priority, as it remains, is to do the Maine McVeigh Transit study and then help to find the, what do they call it, preferred?
Locally preferred alternative?
No.
Solution.
No, that's not what we called it. No.
Best thing.
It was transit mode something.
Choice.
That's the word. The transit mode choice.
Good thing you were there, Frank.
Yeah. So that will be a part of phase one. The planning process will be to come up with that transit preferred choice. That doesn't make sense. Preferred
transit mode choice. Which also doesn't make sense.
But that's what we wrote down on a paper. So that's what it will be. And that's good news for us. Tom reiterated that would be a good point in time for us to be moving forward with our project, as we'll have a clear recommendation. And then transit can develop around the safety project as we move forward.
So the other thing that came out of it was that the sort of Twilight Zone moment of we had Molly Markarian, the planner, present to us, I think in February, and told us that LTD had been asked by the city to put the transit study on pause. And that was confusing because folks in the city were saying, keep things moving, we don't want things to slow down. A recent conversation became clear in the GT meeting that the city would like to restart the, like LTD to restart the transit study. So that bit of murkiness is now clear, and I think it's for the good of the project. Mm-hmm. And the two projects now are much more integrated than they seemingly have been for the last year. The other piece of good news is that the governance team is going to be meeting quarterly. I can't remember if you said that. Mm-hmm. And instead of having these long gaps in between, they'll be trying to maintain momentum and build on the last meeting and move forward.
Franny? The other thing around the protocols for the governance team is when this safety project gets discussed with the public, you know, at meetings like when they came here and talked to us or go around and talk to other groups of people, city council or whatever, that an email will go out to the members of the governance team that communication will be occurring on this project. And this is the information that will be conveyed. Mm-hmm. So that, because we're only meeting quarterly, so mm-hmm. there may be some communication that will happen in between that as a governance team we'll need to know about so that we're sure that we're all hearing the same messages that are being conveyed. The other thing that was really important, I think, for both of these projects, to the safety study and the transit study to now be going out at the same time, is to not confuse the constituency in the mm-hmm. corridor, the folks that are going to be watching these processes go forward, and it'll affect them, either as a transit user or a business owner or a transportation provider, that they'll be hearing the same information. You know, they'll be hearing a coordinated message rather than two different messages, because it's the same corridor. And it's too confusing, because it just would be pandemonium. Don't put that in the minutes, but it would be confusing. So I think that, you know, having this, so the one of the things that has to be done that I could see that needs to be implemented is we need to take the process that we were talking about for the governance team to look at the safety study and the milestones, timeline, deliverables, and then look at the transit study, timeline, milestones, deliverables, and kind of put them side by side and, mm-hmm. and watch how they would interact with each other so that we get that preferred modal choice in at the right time so that the corridor plan can be truly a corridor plan that's multimodal.
So another little element that came out was that there was a lot of work done back in 2013 when the transit study started, and that's both good and it's a double-edged sword. The work was done long enough ago that some of the people are going to forget it.
Yeah.
And then there's new people that are there that weren't involved in the 2013. The other edge of the sword is, though, that we don't want to waste that work that was already done. So somehow the group is going to try to reconcile that fact. Anybody, comments, questions? Carl, you still with us?
Still here. Nope, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, Josh?
Well, just a couple of quick questions. It sounded like, Kate, you were saying there needs to be like renewed work on the study. Is that money going out the door for that, or was that work largely already done? And then I guess sort of related to that, just looking at the list that Rob put before us, how does this fit with LTD's overall bandwidth, given all of the balls in the air at the moment?
Tom?
So two things. One was, whether you want to call it paused or whatever, we haven't been working on the project, but we had a project, and we had funding for that project, and that project funding is still available, and there's approximately $3 million in I'm sorry,
300,000.
I was like, wow.
Okay.
We're doing the youth pass after all.
Why are you cutting anything?
Awesome. $300,000 in grant money to.
Good.
And the second thing I would add to that is that with respect to choosing a transit mode, that is essentially the work that's been done to date is adequate. From a technical standpoint, to develop a decision process for the board and the council to make that decision. And that's basically saying MX, enhanced corridors, the term we're using and moving ahead, I think we use enhanced transit and it's it's enhanced corridor. MX, enhanced corridor, or no build are essentially the choices. And we feel we have, like I said, a technical basis for supporting a decision there. I think what we want to do and why we want to kind of tie into what the schedule is with the safety study is that it would be good to confirm what we think we know from having talked to the public over a year ago around the feelings about where, which mode of transit, MX, enhanced corridor, or kind of using how it is, do they prefer? And so that's in this, actually we'd like to do that fairly quickly so that's what I'm talking about, gives us focus. What are we talking about? Because if we're talking about a broad range of things, then it's a more involved process. If we're talking about one mode, let's say enhanced, we can work with that to, as Kate put it, kind of design the transit around the city.
Great.
Okay. And then very last comment, I would just say as the guy who was not in the meeting, I would really advise against using mode to describe different types of transit. That seems like a recipe for total disaster in these conversations. When you say mode choice.
It was the facilitator who used that word.
Okay. Then well, maybe it's time for a new facilitator.
Yeah,
but the. Okay. Well, but when we use mode, we. Yeah, anyway,
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah,
I also know that FTA has kind of used that in their NEPA process, so we use that.
Okay. That's not how we use it any other time around here, so I guess I would just.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
Other comments? Okay, we're moving on. State Transportation Improvement Fund Policy. Is that Edward?
AJ.
AJ.
Is this the policy priority one?
Yeah, yes.
Yes, this is an agenda item that our vice chair requested that we put on at the last meeting and to engage the committee in a discussion regarding policy priorities for STIF formula funds by providing a brief overview of the last 3 years of service investment. And we went over the proposed service and we talked a little bit about the service investments in the last 3 years. LTD has added, last 3 years we've added how much service? Like 2 million a year? So about $6 million of service. Of course, the most recent service additions were with West Eugene MX. For last September 2017, but as part of that, we also redesigned the entire service there to better connect with the new MX line. And that was just over $2 million investment in just service itself there. And Josh, stop me if this is not the information you needed or you need something
different. Hold on, just to clarify, I didn't request this. Like independent of stuff, you guys made it very clear that we needed to have a discussion about policy priorities in order to give guidance to us and others as the STIF committee, because that's the appropriate level of guidance from this group or from the STIF committee. I mean, just I want to clarify for everyone, remember, it, just so we don't have random projects being suggested, the key point is to say, what are the big things we want to achieve with the transit system? And so that guidance needs to inform what staff goes away and makes a menu out of to bring back to the STIF committee. So I just wanted to be clear, because remember, you guys were really clear in the last couple of meetings and talking about that in that way. So
goodness knows, I drag us down with my pet projects all the time, but this is not one of them. Just want to be clear.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah.
So, as we look at those, the investments that we've made and then the proposed service changes that we've had, what our strategy will be to bring before the STIF advisory committee, and then, you know, for you guys or for that group, since the application process hasn't happened there, for that group to review would be projects that align with the state's priorities and that align with the district's long-range transit plan. And the approach that we will take is to look at what capital investment need to support future service additions and what other types of investments would support access to public transportation, which is all kind of incorporated into our long-range transit plan. Our board of directors and this committee has also been very supportive of a youth pass and redesigning that. Our small ad hoc committee has been appointed or kind of selected that will be meeting to look at what that fare structure would look like. And they would be looking at how, if a funding gap, if there was a reduction in fare, how the STIF funds could, you know, be able to support that, which is aligned with decisions that this committee has made and the board has also showed a desire and aligns also with the state's goals that I know last time we talked about that they, a lot of the goals are surrounding about providing more transit options for low-income households and being able to deploy our transit in areas where low-income households are targeted. So it was like six priorities, and I think the seventh one was the youth from grades 9 through 12. So we felt that we would bring back for the committee to look at is priorities that align with that, with what capital investments will be needed. As you all know, that one of them will, of course, be using match money to fund all electric vehicles, which is one of the other state priorities that they also have for communities of a population over 200,000. So we wanted to really stay as closely aligned with what the state wanted and the decisions that had already been made here. So kind of that's kind of the big picture strategy, but we definitely welcome your input on this. And just so you know, and the this one, I didn't want to focus on the detail, but if you guys choose that, that's okay. What I did in addition to that, which I thought could be useful to you, is under your written reports, I provide you like all the backup, which may help you with the policy priorities or not. But I just said, you know, that's it. I didn't want us to detract from the policy priorities and get into the weeds, but I thought they may have questions about it. So why don't we put it in the packet and have you guys, and if you notice, that's under a separate item, but you can choose to combine them if you wanted to. I just wanted to let you know, we wanted to provide you both, you know, a comprehensive view of everything.
Andy.
And sorry to ask this again, just before the meeting started, but in the minutes from last night, AJ made a comment about 2.1 million, 2.5 going to the metro area. So can you just clarify, give me clarity on it? So does that mean the district, again, has decided the 2.1 million? That means that 400,000 is only available for the rural areas?
What I will say to that is, and Edward, if he's here, he can help me that, just to clarify that. But what happened is, if you recall, the state, ODOT, gave us preliminary numbers that are very conservative. And what they did is they gave us an estimate on two quarters, and they separated that out. And I don't recall, but is the 2.1 million for LTD's district, metropolitan, or does that incorporate also the rural areas, Edward?
The state law, if I'm remembering, the process is such that there's amounts that are identified within LTD service area that's meant to go back to the district. There's areas identified outside of the service area that are meant to go to those communities outlying. So that's the $400,000 amount that you see there is for Now, the LTD Board of Directors, on the advice of the SBIF committee, could choose to put more than $400,000 in. But it is expected that that $400,000 is made available for those communities outlined.
Outside the service area.
That's correct.
So that would be like Oak Ridge, or somebody that's,
yes.
Somebody that's not in, okay, so Metro,
so
it just means the rest of the actual LTD service.
Yeah.
Okay, that's helpful, thanks. And then the state rules are, I mean, it's everything in the kitchen sink. So are you going to come back again and kind of help narrow that down to the things, again, that I think you said, maybe I didn't understand it, but that are specific to your transit plan, the ones that align most closely with that, or board priorities in terms of reduced fares or whatever? Because, again, I mean, this list is huge.
It is, but what we had discussions during this whole process was about, you know, what would be the expectation that this money be used for. In preliminary, everybody was like, more service. And this is statewide. This is not just our community. And what was determined early enough, that you just can't get money and tomorrow start running service, is how would you do an analysis to say where to put it? How would you buy buses? You know, like, it was all of this infrastructure. So most of the agencies basically made it very clear that for us to be able to provide a sustainable level of service back that the state funding could be used for, we would first have to look at any infrastructure improvements that needed to be made. And that was plan ahead. If you were gonna add 5 more buses of service, you needed several years to save that money to be able to buy those buses so that you can run the service, because if not, you're taking from your formula dollars that are currently used to replace your own fleet that you need currently to operate just the existing service. So that's one of the things that we are going to look at, is what is the condition of our fleet today and how could it support future expansions that are sustainable?
I understand that. Just sorry, Mike, as a follow-up, in the abstract, I mean, starting from kind of scratch, but you guys are going to be cutting $2 million in service, so I would assume that means that you guys probably are in a better position maybe than some districts and able to kind of activate that sooner, because you're cutting all the service out, so you got to have buses sitting around.
Just
in bad shape.
Well, and as you know, that LTD has historically used their capital money for operating dollars, so they're running 18-year-old
yeah.
buses out there that continuing to operate old diesel buses are not in line with the quality of service or the environmental responsibility we have. So what we're trying to do is, that's why I wanted to mention the fact that how we use some of the money towards matching towards electric buses, which, as you know, cost a lot more. So that's some of the things that we know our board has already made decisions, this committee already supports. How do we align those decisions to support expansion of services versus just saying we're going to add service and we're going to keep old buses that are not reliable and our operating costs go up? And, you know, it's just that cycle. So that's most of us at the transit agency, we said, how do we responsibly put back? And then how do we make what transit services are available in the community now accessible to more people, especially people with low income? And that's through our fare structure. You do a better job at that. And then that supports ridership increase, and then supports adding more service back again. And one of the things that's important in the conversation that we have been having is our board of directors a couple of years ago started talking to us about, you know, LTD traditionally does massive service cuts. And those are not adjustments like we see before us. Those are not just kind of trimming back areas and moving trips around. That's straight cuts. So whole lines, are gone, and people just don't have access. And you do that during a recession because basically you don't have the money to do it, and everybody knows, but that doesn't respond to the community. So they have really been focusing on our financial transparency and responsibility to saying, how do we position ourselves so that when recessions come, LTD may have to do some trimming back a little bit, but other than that, it protects all the core service that I identified it needed. So that's some of the things that this bill does allow us to do, is to put some of the money towards reserve to build capital and to build some reserves to protect. If you're going to add service, how are you going to sustain it during a recession? So that's the kind of strategy that, you know, we're kind of taking based on decisions that have already been made either at this committee or at the board level.
That's helpful, because I mean, what you just described there are some pretty clear priorities as opposed to the 14 things that the state says you can spend money on. So kind of bringing that clarity together in a list, I mean, just like you just explained, would be a pretty good starting point for the group as it starts to look at possibilities for investment of that money.
Other comments, thoughts? Carl? Josh?
Well, no. Carl, you have anything?
No, for me, thanks.
None for me, thanks.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to speak for you, Carl. I'm looking at the, why am I looking at the ceiling? He's not up there. I guess just the spirit of this item, and I'll say this stuff quickly because I unfortunately just learned that I have to go. The family logistics, I apologize. But I will just say the spirit of this, as I understand it from what we heard from staff last time, is that I think we need to do a little bit to articulate high-level priorities that we want to drive, you know, however we are going to use the STIF to change direction. I appreciate you kind of named some things, AJ, that are, I guess, are on the menu. I'll say back some of those and give twists on a couple. I mean, I would just say expanding ridership. I'm just to say that's a bit of a goal. Also, expanding transit options, access, frequency, however you guys think it's best to describe it, in ways that directly relate to the housing and land use goals of the communities that we operate in. I think that would be helpful. I don't know exactly how that plays out, but I'm just saying it from a policy perspective, that's certainly the goal. So that may relate to not just things like moving ahead, but also, you know, some cities are trying to redevelop downtowns and things like that. So transit investments that reinforce those existing priorities. And then just because that stuff isn't complicated enough, connecting to these emerging modes, Lyft and Uber are supposed to be back soon. I feel like I just got an email from Lyft saying they'd be here. Actually, they were recruiting me as a driver because they recruit everybody as a driver. But connecting to emerging modes, I don't know that that's going to fit in anything that comes in a first round of requests, probably not, but just over time, we want to be able to do that. So those are, I think, kind of policy level things. And I don't know, maybe you could give us a sense of how we are going to weigh in on this. Just, I was looking at the timeline for all of this. I know we'll have like kind of a first bite of the apple in fall, and then maybe another chance in spring, but maybe you can give us a sense of how we should be thinking about the way we give guidance.
Well, there's an opportunity before the end of the calendar year to submit projects to the state to be funded. However, there was a discussion at a couple of SPC meetings ago in which there was kind of a mixed response by the committee as to did they want to submit projects in the first round. Submitting projects in the second round, which is not till May 2018, does not preclude the district from going back and get reimbursed back to July 1st. So it doesn't preclude the district from doing that. What we are looking to do is engaging the committee. I showed you kind of the application, but after this, Camille wants to reach out to you guys and ask you to apply online to see who in this committee is interested and could meet the roles that are required there. And then so that we evaluate who is missing, and LCOG could then help us reach out to the additional committee members so that the committee is in full compliance of its requirements and allow the committee to meet. And if it's appropriate, and we bring projects based on kind of the high level discussions. And the reason we don't want to get into the project level is if this is a body that is also that body, we're trying to keep any conflict. The STIF advisory committee will be staffed by LCOG, not by LTD staff, to keep that separation. So we're trying to be respectful of that. If the committee has projects that it has prioritized and feels it's appropriate for us to submit in the first round, then we'll do that. But if that's not appropriate, then we know we have the May opportunity. But we feel it, we felt it important that at least we put it as if you will meet, and we let the committee's kind of feeling go through that. I think especially some of the requirements require some geographical consideration, and one in maybe individuals that from the rural areas could feel that maybe LTD is rushing it or the committee is rushing it. We don't know what the input would be, but we're just asking everybody to keep an open mind. But staff, we will prepare as if you we will submit in the first round, but that's sure. Going to be, you know, the advisory body has to advise our board of directors in this process,
and the money won't go anywhere.
No,
it's not gonna disappear if we don't apply in the first round.
No.
Andy.
Go ahead, Josh. Well, yes, just a clarifying question. AJ, you were saying something about how we could get reimbursed going back all the way to, like, in the May 2019 round, we could get reimbursed for things that start in July of 2018.
Yes, potentially. So if the committee, if LTD invested in something, whether it's buses or a new fare structure, the committee could then say, you know, LTD started this on, you know, before this and after July 1st of 2018 to put the district in good financial position, and this is something we supported them moving forward ahead of the money. We're going to prioritize that project to be funded, and the district would be reimbursed for that money. So, you know, like one example I can give you is like the contract for alcohol administrative. You know, I can tell you without going into a lot that we obviously are going to want to get reimbursed for that. You know, if you don't prioritize that, you know, LTD is basically going to have to cover the cost and administrative cost of this program. But that's kind of an example of something that we would make effective in July, but may not be approved until maybe the end of the calendar year or sometime in May 2019. But we would like to get reimbursed for that, and we would ask that committee to consider that. So that's an example of something.
Well, so let me just give another example. I guess knowing that some version of a youth pass would meet many of the goals that are articulated in ODOT's documentation, and that it could even be tweaked to meet others. In particular, it could be targeted at low-income populations, for example. Why wouldn't we try to forge ahead with doing that for the next academic year, knowing that we would have such a good chance to be reimbursed, you know, after the fact?
What I would say is that's a project that we'll consider for submission to the advisory committee. But at this point, we probably would not discuss it with this body and prioritize it in this body and then have you approve it under a different hat. So okay, I would just.
Well, then I will just articulate it as a policy objective.
Well, and I would also say that we have formed an advisory committee, which I hope will be meeting soon, Edward, to start having discussions about fare policy as a whole. And so part of the thing that the board talked about when we discussed this youth pass, and I know Carl was in his favorite conversation, it didn't go the exact right way, but it got there eventually, where we would take a look at the entire structure and see how we're meeting the needs of the community as a whole, so that then we could adapt our service and our policy for fare to meet those needs, instead of taking it one segment of at a time and then potentially meeting some restrictions and not being able to change it after we've implemented it. So being strategic, being forward thinking, and also hoping that whatever comes from the fare policy group, that we will, you know, be able to be reimbursed for the outcomes of that, which will inevitably result in higher costs for LTD and lower costs for patrons. I think that would be the goal.
Andy, did you have something?
Oh, I just have a quick question. I don't even live in a rural area anymore, but I keep coming back to these rural questions. So LCOG is going to manage the rural piece. Is that rural piece the outside the district piece?
Yes.
Okay. I think the last time I was thinking it was like any rural service, but it's even outside the service district.
Well, I believe that there are other rural parts of the district that they may also be providing outreach to.
Okay.
that are currently served by LD?
Correct.
Oh, right. Right. So it could be both. Okay. Thanks.
I think there's.
I'm sorry, Amy.
Yeah. Couple of comments. One, this with the fare policy is really interesting to me. I wonder if there's anyone in that group that has a background like in economics, an economist that might be able to provide that market perspective on what people are actually willing to pay, and what the, you know, how those pricing decisions are made. And then I have, did you want to comment on that or?
Yes.
I have another comment too.
But keep going. I'll wait for you.
Unrelated.
Okay, then we'll stick on that subject. So on that Fair Advisory Committee, there is someone with an economics background. We've actually asked Lane County Commissioner Jay Bozovich, whose private background involves a lot of economics and modeling work, and so he's providing that, as well as Noreen Dunnels from the United Way, representing social service agencies as kind of the counterbalance point on that one as well.
And then my other question is, one thought I had, I know usually when a government body is evaluating proposals, there's a set of criteria that they use, and there might be some kind of scoring, or there's at least, you know, a document that provides some guidance as far as how to weigh different priorities. And I'm not sure if staff has the capacity or if it's part of the plan to maybe come up with some criteria that will be used to evaluate the proposals and the different projects and kind of compare one against the other, evaluate them for their merits, that incorporates, you know, criteria that incorporate the priorities that the state has set, and then also combine that with the priorities that we as a community have established through the long range plan. And then maybe this body, the SPC or the STIF committee, would have the opportunity to comment on those criteria, the method of prioritizing, and say, okay, yes, we do think that this aligns with the strategic plan, with the long range plan, it makes sense, and provide feedback in that way.
So we have a long range transit plan, but it's much more of a like high level policy decision that is basically supports anything transit and doesn't kind of provide that level of specificity. In the COA, which you're not calling transit tomorrow, which is just the analysis, it's the first step. It basically really says, here's what your community is, here's how your service is serving it, and this is how the options that you could serve it differently. We'll then use that analysis to build a business plan to say, to improve service, this is how we can serve the service better, and we can look at the state's priorities and align those up. Then use those recommendations, and that's why the kind of push to get that transit tomorrow study in so that it starts informing. Fortunately, like I mentioned, our first strategy will be to kind of get into the capital investments that needs to put the district in a position to be able to expand service and inform those decisions. So it will then have those parameters that will have this whole public process input are going to come here and are going to the board of directors. So as you have that framework, the STIF committee then can say, based on decisions this community has already made that align with the states, this is how we do them. One thing that I just want to make it clear just for any future is staff themselves won't do that. It really is a community conversation that sets that and then gets approved by the board of directors. Then the STIF committee really looks at those, but as the committee bylaws, which I did attach, you guys are, the individuals that apply would be mandated to adhere to kind of the community, the role that you serve, and how it aligns with those priorities. So the bylaws as to what the role of the STIF advisory committee have been set by the state already. So that's going to really, and that's why we, one of the mandates is that we adopt those bylaws. So it, you know.
What I think I'm hearing is that you're asking for some scoring criteria to be given when we're reviewing proposals that get brought to us by LTD or LCOG via other agencies that are interested in transit dollars. And while those, as AJ explained, won't be given, those won't be LTD parameters, those will be state parameters. And the STIF, when we put our STIF hats on, then we will be state advisory board for funds being used locally, basically.
Yeah.
And then when we put our SPC hats on, we're the SPC committee being staffed by LTD, looking at LTD transit community priorities. So it is very different, and I do wonder if the state has a scoring guide or a matrixing system for when those proposals are given. I wouldn't doubt that you would be the only person asking that question.
They have indicated that they would give us the what they call the plan template by August 1st. So even we have not seen that. So we have this conceptual direction, but we can't box ourselves into it because based on what they develop, it's going to dictate some of that. So you have an update?
Well, no, I just thought I would join you for this
okay.
question. But I do think, so the plan template for a little background is essentially your application for each of the projects. And the things that they'll be asking you to talk about are those seven criteria we've talked a lot about, and indicating if or if not, and if so, how you affect those seven different criteria. So that'll be, I think, an important backbone to this and will allow for some objective apples-to-apples comparisons. Granted, not every application will fulfill those criteria, and that's within the prerogative of both the transit agency or agencies that are applying for those funds, the STIF Advisory Committee, the Board of Directors, and ultimately the Oregon Transportation Commission to decide if the objective values of those projects that don't fulfill any of those criteria are worth funding. Does that help?
Yeah, I think so. So basically, the state will be providing some guidance.
Yes.
We're kind of acting to have.
Right. And we're not obligated to fulfill any of those criteria, but the expectation is those are the top priorities for the state,
okay.
if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And the projects, I think that, I mean, part of what we can look at as we move forward in that area is the projects that fulfill one or more, or two or more of those criteria, we can probably guess that they will be most likely to be funded versus projects that don't adhere to any of the criteria. So we can use those criteria as a guide for our scoring, but I think that's about all that they're gonna give us. Yeah,
that's okay.
Anything else, Amy?
No, I just appreciate, you know, the information. It's trying to digest all of this, mm-hmm. figure out how we can best be involved in the state process.
Right. Totally. Carl, anything?
No, thank you.
Sure.
So I'm looking at the bylaws that you've provided. And so is that this committee would not approve those bylaws? It would be the STIF committee that would. So I see on the timeline that bylaws was in June, but in fact, it's not until after the. What is the process?
So, yes. So the board of directors will actually approve the bylaws. And we actually have had them ready, except if you notice the bylaws on page 5 of 12 have a highlight of a high percentage of low-income households. That is a requirement that we have to have that in there. But in working with LCOG, they will help us insert that language in. So that's the only thing that we are waiting right now information on. And I know that some direction will come from ODOT. When I spoke to them last month, they mentioned. So we are waiting for that so that we can insert that. We hope, as according to our schedule, we're taking that to the Board of Directors to approve in July. The bylaws, we're, like I said, following this meeting, Camille will send out application links so that you can start the application. The board of directors can start appointing at the July meeting committee members. Proceed through that process if any additional members have not applied and the outreach that I've called that we need additional members, then you know they could also approve them in the August meeting because the first meeting that this committee will, the STIF committee will be in August and they will start that process. So they have August, and the requirement is that they meet, I believe, twice per year, but they could meet as often as that committee feels, you know, being newly formed, having new bylaws, and what they need to do their job. And again, that will be staffed by ALCOG when you guys change it to that hat, so that it's a clear distinction that you are fulfilling a different seat.
Okay, we are in danger of moving on to the next agenda item. Okay, it's going to happen. What we've all been waiting for. This agenda item has a new name, Transit Tomorrow, to be introduced by Edward McClone.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Being passed around to you are fact sheets that each of you should have received in an email invitation that was sent a week or so ago, and a reminder email was sent earlier today, if I'm not mistaken. This fact sheet is the introductory fact sheet to the Transit Tomorrow project, which for the better part of the last year has been known more generically and surely much more entertainingly as the comprehensive operating analysis. What I've been asked to do today is to come and give an update on the status of that project. The primary focus of what I'm going to talk about is the public involvement component of that project, as this committee is a core part of both the engagement that we are seeking and facilitating greater engagement through the community. As Mr. Scove noted earlier, this committee is a core part of LTD's reach out into the community, and your help is needed for that. So as you recall, this project started in January. There's a public engagement stage that's scheduled to run from roughly the end of June through the month of July. That is the first of two phases of public involvement. The first phase of public involvement is about really gaining a sense of people's values, needs, and goals for the public transit system, looking at it from a broader perspective. So it's not about how often does bus X run on road Y, and does it stop at X, Y, and Z stations? But it's about what's most important? Is it about frequency? Is it about how late the bus runs? We don't have all the resources in the world to deliver all of those things. And so in a limited resource scenario, how do we prioritize? And so that's what this is about in phase one. So the way that phase one is going to roll out is there's a technical document called a choices report that will be released on or around the 25th of June. That document is apparently about 70 pages long. It's enthralling to read. Sorry, Sasha. 55 pages, I misled. It's not as long as I felt it was as I read it. But so we're not asking that everyone read that. There is kind of a summary piece to it, but it really gives you a lot of good detail and has some nice maps about the system. On the 26th of June, every member of the Strategic Planning Committee has been invited, if you did not receive an invite, please let me know, to participate in a stakeholder forum. That is the kickoff of the public involvement phase for Transit Tomorrow. What the stakeholder forum is it's a day or half day event where leaders in the community, people who represent organizations that serve bus riders, some bus riders themselves, some core employers, important taxpayers, the kind of broad spectrum of stakeholders for the system are going to be asked to come and participate in this discussion. It'll start by they play a game called Prairieville, where they get to create the transit system of their dreams, where they have certain resources and certain challenges that they need to problem solve around in this mythical land of Prairieville. I'm told it's actually quite a bit of fun. I'm looking forward to watching it get played. And then we'll actually kind of then break down into a little more detail about how that would reflect the values in our community and what that might look like. From there, that information, and then there'll be a number of public forums that will be held as well, scattered across the region, one in Cottage Grove Crestwell area, one in Springfield, one in West Eugene that's designed to hopefully pull in folks from Veneta and Junction City, and then another in downtown Eugene or somewhere in the university area aimed at collecting kind of the other part of town, the university crowd and Coburg. Those dates haven't been set yet, but stay tuned on those. But the most important component of all of this, in addition to your participation in the stakeholder forum, if you're available, will be what's called an online open house. Think of it as kind of a guided survey where there is some, and I haven't actually seen the tool in practice yet, so I'm kind of giving you a generic just because that's what I know of it. But It's really a place, it's an interactive forum where the opportunity to provide weighted feedback is there for you to kind of prioritize your values, for you to give additional feedback on specific needs or demands of the system. That online open house will be open for about a month, starting on June 26th and going onward from there. When that link goes live, we will share that out with you. We could really use your help spreading that. Our hope is to get several thousand responses to that. And the public involvement firm who we've contracted with have had that many engage in prior experiences, so we think that it's a very reasonable goal. But that's really where we're going to need a lot of help. And so we're going to use the stakeholder forum to kind of plug that as well. Everyone there has networks they can go out to share it in. Everyone in this room hopefully does as well. And so those will be kind of the beginning stages of that public outreach. The outreach is slated to wrap up at the end of July, where then all of that input will be collected, a preliminary report will be put together, and then the technical consultants will take the information that they have and take the values information and blend it with the immense amounts of data that they have pulled from our system and our transportation plans. And they will go into, I believe, what's called a design workshop, which is a multi-day retreat with transportation planners from across the region. So the cities of Eugene, Springfield, Cottage Grove, Cresswell, Veneta, Junction City, you know, they're all going to be there. LTD staff will be there, and the technical planners who we've hired on this team as well will be there to blend all of those with the existing plans the region has. And they're going to develop a series of scenarios that will be brought back out in the fall and winter for the second round of public involvement, where there will be actual maps and service scenarios and real life things for people to look at and say, this is how it impacts me or my business or the services that we provide. So that is the update on Transit Tomorrow. There is now a web page. It's still a little bit on the beginning stage because we don't have much going on yet on LTD's website. It's ltd.org/transit-tomorrow. It's also on the bottom of the fact sheet, as well as an email if anyone has questions. Staff are available to make presentations to your anything, really. If you've got a group of people who are interested, we're happy to come and talk about it. Please email that address, email me directly, or anyone you know at LTD, and they will connect you to the right person and get that set up. So I'll go ahead and wrap up to help us move forward and take in questions.
Andy, did you have something?
It sounds really good. LCOG's Florence Transit Study meeting is right in the middle of this, so I'm going to ask them if they can change it, because I'd love to be able to come. But remind me who the consultants are. Is Jarrett
Walker was the technical consultant who was hired, and then Gene Lawson and Associates are the outreach firm that we're contracting.
Oh, cool. Thanks.
Other comments, questions? Sherry.
You've been busy. You talk really fast through that all out, and I'm just like,
I'm sorry.
I'm going as fast as I can, and I'm thinking, wow, this sounds really exciting.
It is really exciting.
Yeah.
Did you get everything? Is there anything? I went too fast for you. I can always go back.
I already signed up for the June 26th thing.
Perfect. We're excited to have you there.
Rick?
Edward, what time on the 26th did you say?
It goes from, I believe, 8:30 until close to
9 to 1.
Thank you. And if any of you who have been invited are not able to attend, but someone else who is from your organization is able to go on your behalf, please let us know. We would still like to have that voice there, and we can make that happen.
Other comments, questions, thoughts? Well, this is the meatiest presentation we've had. You've been telling us it's coming. And
I know.
It's happening.
It's been a lot of work. I've got a really great team. Meg and Therese behind me on my staff have been putting in tons of hours. I've had Meg's department staff. And then the planning team led by Hart have also been putting in heaps and heaps of work. And so, believe me, it's been a massive team effort to get to this point.
Well, this is the first and most comprehensive look that LTD's ever done, isn't it?
Yep.
No.
No.
Andy Sandel.
No, I mean, historically, I mean, there were, you know, when the timber crisis happened in the 79-80 recession, I mean, they cut 35% of the service and redesigned it into the line structure it basically had until, probably a lot of them are still here until most recently with the development of MX. And there have been smaller ones, but But since then, yeah. And Jared came in, God, what year was that? 99, 2000, and helped us develop the productivity standards at that time. And we started down this road, and they kind of got cold feet a little bit because of a variety of reasons. But that helped define the productivity standards that we used to redesign parts of the system in the early 2000s. But this is...
Well, it's a big deal for the district.
Yeah, this is big. Yeah, this is great.
Yeah.
Anything else?
That's all I...
Okay, we could actually end this meeting a little early. I will remind everybody that I started out with a comment about the 4th of July. Our meeting would normally be July 3. I'm suggesting that we go to July 10. I would suggest that we skip it altogether, but there's going to be some very important stuff that we need to attend to. So we do need to have a July meeting.
July 10. Need a motion or just...
I'm not seeing anybody that looks like they're all checking their calendars.
And yeah, I wouldn't have been able to make the third.
That.
I would not have been able to make the third.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I have a puppy training bus that night, so it works better for me to move it.
Okay, well, we will lock in on July 10th. Is there anything else that we should talk about tonight? I haven't looked at my agenda to see if I'm skipping anything. Future agenda items, topics. I might suggest that the handout from Rob Zako might give us some structure for looking at future agenda items.
So our team has been working on something akin to that.
Okay.
I'm supposed to get briefed on it tomorrow, but I'll see what we have that can be some nice supporting material.
Great.
At a minimum, we'll have it into the packet for the written reports.
Super.
And if there's anything further beyond that, we'll make sure to let the agenda setting committee know.
Thanks. And Edward did refer to written reports. You can see that there are some written reports attached to the agenda this time. Thank you, staff, for putting that together for us. I think we've resolved that if there's information that just needs to be passed on, it's probably to our advantage to just do that in writing as opposed to making an agenda item. And it seems like staff is doing a good job of doing that for us. Anything else? Let it be known that we stopped a half an hour early. We finished things up. Happy summer, everybody.
Who left the meeting early?
Yeah, right.
We need to talk about future meetings.
We just did.
Oh, what happened? When is it?
July 10th.
I just went to the bathroom. Yeah. Okay, I'll be there.
Good. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Carl.
Thank you, everyone. Good night.
Bye, Carl.
Bye.